Acts chapter 14 in your Bibles. We'll start in chapter 13 at the close. Last Sunday I spoke on love and the heart and finished the message on Ephesians 3:18 on the four dimensions of God's love, the breadth of God's love. It's as wide as the universe. If you go out at night and you look up in a clear sky and you see the passing of the stars as they move and the planets, and if you can see that in a picture of like our Milky Way and know that there are other galaxies out there and all of the width of all that, God's love is greater than that. God's love is as long as eternity. How long is eternity? I have no idea. But it is forever. And God's love is forever. It will never cease. And the length of eternity, God's always been and God will always be. And God has chosen this little planet in the universe to not only place life, but to give his son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. The breadth, the length, the depth, as deep as a man can sink in the pit of sin, he can't sink lower than the love of God. Old Jonah decided not to do what God told him to do, and he tried to run away from God. And the storm came, and the sailors, Jonah said, throw me overboard. I'm the cause of this. I'm getting chastened by God. This is my fault. This storm is here. So they threw him overboard. They tried not to. They tried to row and do the sails and everything, but they couldn't do it. It was going to destroy the ship. They were all going to die. So they threw Jonah overboard. But God had prepared a great fish, and he swallowed him up. And he got a three-day ride. In type, he died inside that whale and then was spit out on dry ground alive. And it was the type of Christ that he would die and be buried and rise again from the dead on the third day. God's love at the depth of the oceans. I shared with you just a few weeks ago how that the USS Indianapolis went down with two torpedoes from a Japanese sub after delivering the parts for the bomb to drop on Japan. And they were on a secret mission, so it was 4 days before anybody spotted one of the survivors. 1,100 men went into the water and only 300 came out alive. Sharks ate many of them. And there were wounded and those who drowned in the ship and all that sort of thing. But the waters where that ship went down is off the coast of the Philippines, 18,000 feet deep. That whale could go that deep possibly. They can go under the ice, over frozen caps, and all the things they can do that we can't imagine. But the love of God goes as deep as Jonah was in the belly of that whale at the bottom of the ocean. I remember that so vividly because my drill instructor at Parris Island used to tell us that we were lower than whale dung on the bottom of the ocean. He reminded us that quite often. The height to the throne of God. The Bible says the throne of God is the third heaven. Our atmosphere is the first, our planets and stars is the second, but there's another heaven above that. And that's where God lives. And from the depth to the height, God's love is that high. Now in Acts chapter 13, and beginning with verse number 50, Paul and Barnabas have gone the missionary journey or preaching the gospel in the synagogues. It says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts, and they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost, And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you'll bless in the message today, the reading of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves in our text today, our need to spread the gospel, that there'll be those who reject. There'll be those who are angry toward us because we live righteously and because we try to encourage them to be saved. And we see that in the world today in a magnified way. We pray, Lord, you'll give us wisdom and the power of God to help people be converted, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I started in Acts 13, the first recorded sermon of the Apostle Paul in the synagogue. He spoke off after he got saved, but the first one recorded for us is in Acts 13, where he spoke in the synagogue. It's kind of like President Trump's State of the Union address. He went into a place knowing that it was somewhat hostile against him. Secondly, he had been invited to speak, but the people were not expecting to be rebuked because of their differences. He, like the Apostle Paul, was very bold when he spoke and exposed errors and sins of his audience. And this is what Paul did with the Jewish people. Not to condemn them, but to make them aware of their need of Christ to be saved. He began speaking to a mixed audience of Jews and Gentiles. And the president spoke to Democrats and Republicans, men and women, and to at least 3 devout Muslims who are in Congress. I think there's more than that, but there's at least 3. And I don't know what the lady from New York is. She's a socialist, not an American. She's anti-America. But I'm not sure if she's got any religious beliefs. She sides with the Muslim ladies. But I think that's because of their newness of being elected more than anything else. The president had to speak to those who had those vehement anger toward him, not because of anything he had done, but because of what he stands for. And Paul and Barnabas felt that same kind of thing once they began to expose truth to the people in the synagogue. Mr. Trump's message split along party lines, Republican and Democrat. All the Republicans would stand up and applaud, and all the Democrats would sit there like they were mad at the world. It was the same with Paul and Barnabas. The Jews rejected their message, but many of the Gentiles believed. Now, at the very first, some of the Jews believed also. Well, Trump was pretty smart when he started out his speech that he said things that everybody had to stand up and applaud, you know, even if they didn't want to, lest they be seen to hate America completely, you know. They didn't want that exposed. Well, today we pick up in chapter 14, verse 1 through 28, Paul and Barnabas had lost John Mark. When they landed from ship, John Mark turned back and did not go with them on their journey. It may have been a difficult sea crossing. There was a difficult journey ahead. There's no reason really given why John Mark turned back. But it created a division between Barnabas and Paul, because the next time they got ready to go on a second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take his nephew, John Mark, and Paul said no. He can't be counted on. And so they separated teams, and Barnabas took John Mark and discipled him to become profitable later for the Apostle Paul for the ministry. Praise God when you hear a good ending to a story. Now they sailed 200 miles across the Mediterranean Sea to get to Perga, where John Mark left them. Their journey now was 100 miles up 3,600 feet of elevation through the Taurus Mountains, and there were at least two flood-prone rivers they would have to cross. They didn't have all the modern accommodations for those kind of events. They were walking. They were carrying what possessions they needed to carry from place to place. This journey, facing that, could have been part of the reason John Mark turned back. It was just too hard, just too difficult. Just, you know, you're just going to go on and on with these things. I don't know, but my mind can imagine as a young man he was discouraged by all the hardship. But Paul and Barnabas were committed. They endured the difficulties. They wanted to serve God. They wanted to see souls saved. They wanted to see churches established. And they knew it was going to be difficult, and they were willing to pay the price. I remember the five pastors on the ordination council when I was ordained looking at me and Joy and saying, "Are you willing to pay the price of what it's going to take for you to be in the ministry?" And of course, we spoke readily that we were willing. And we were then, and we still are. But we had no idea what the difficulties might be. There's hardship in just living life. There's hardship in being married. There's hardship in your career and your job. And there's hardship in the ministry. And Paul and Barnabas knew that, and yet they endured and continued. Now the time has come for them to make a move. Chapter 14, verse number 1, 80 miles away to Iconium. Iconium was a melting pot of that day and time, much as America is said to be. There were people from various groups that were there together, living in the same place. There were Romans, there were Jews, there were Greeks, there were Phrygians. And there were Jewish people from these various places that you can see in the book of Acts when they gathered at the day of Pentecost. There were Jews from all over the world that gathered there for the annual feast of Pentecost. Their goal was to preach the gospel to these people from all nations. God worked things even miraculously for them to be able to speak so people could hear in the language wherein they were born. And the apostles had that gift to be able to do that. They did not allow rejection to stop them from preaching the gospel. These servants of God were very wise. They first went into the synagogue, because if they had first gone to the Gentiles to preach the gospel, who were much more open to the gospel message, then the Jewish synagogue would not have allowed them to come and speak in the synagogue. And so they went first there, and they did gain some. But then the satanic, false religious people began to stir up hatred and resentment and gather a group together to try to kill them if they possibly could. Secondly, notice, vital to remember, as a church, just what our job is for the Lord and what our job is as a Christian to be a witness for Christ and to try to make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no guarantee on how many people might believe or how many people might reject, and we cannot become discouraged when people don't believe. It's exciting when somebody does believe and get saved. Wonderful. And it can be discouraging when people are not willing to listen to you and they shut the door and things of that nature. But we can't be discouraged by that. We know it's going to be that way. If they rejected Christ, they certainly might reject us giving the message of Christ. In chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, Paul and Barnabas had some initial success, but then the same problems arose. The unbelievers stirred up opposition and made their witness more difficult. They continued speaking boldly for a period of time, and the Lord granted signs to be done by them. God approved their ministry with miraculous signs being done to show this was the power of God, that these men were approved of God, that they spoke the truth of the Lord. And yet, for all that, the city still stirred up enough opposition to persecute them. These men are doing all they can do to get out the message. Are we doing all we can do to get out the message of Christ for people that are lost here in our area and through our missions around the world? It's important that we're doing all we can and that we continue and endure in the work of the Lord regardless of the times it doesn't go the way we'd like for it to go. They were bold to speak. They had the power of God, and they did not back down when opposition came their way. They refused to be intimidated. They didn't run at the first sign of trouble. What is it that keeps us from getting out of our comfort zone and speaking up for Christ and being a witness for the Lord and inviting people to church and trying to set up a Bible study with someone to either show them how to be saved or to disciple them because they have been saved? What keeps us from doing these things? We say, well, we're too busy. Are we really? We seem to find the time to do the things that we want to do. I hope we'll want to serve the Lord. I hope we'll want to be in the ministry. I hope we'll want to be a witness for Christ. We should be seeking a place of service for God who saved us, gave us eternal life. We love Him because He first loved us, and we should have a burden to do something for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. As the time passed in Iconium, they had become a boiling pot with the division caused by these unbelieving Jews. We are, like them, servants of the Most High God. We're sent out to be witnesses and to give the message of reconciliation for God to men, because God loves man and wants them to be saved and to come unto Him. We're seeking to reconcile sinful man to a holy God. It became necessary here for Paul and Barnabas to preserve their life that they had to flee. They had to leave. You say, you know, I don't understand all of that. Nobody understands all of that except God. God knew what was going to happen. God divinely protected these men. Regardless of our calling or gifts or success or failures, regardless of our boldness, God has reasons to send us into an area and saturate it with the gospel message and rejoice over those that do believe. But if there are more unbelievers that would persecute us, there may be time for us to move on to another place. This is common among missionaries. The goal is for them to establish a church so that after they're gone, the church can continue, even if it has to go underground, as in the communist countries. Thirdly, an assault was made by dissenters of the Jews and the Gentiles intending to stone them to death. Now make no mistake, Satan is behind that kind of thing. This isn't just somebody being mistaken about their religion. This is the devil working. Just like these late-term abortions and these two officials who've come out and say that women should have the right to choose whether a child lives or dies after it's born. That's nothing but murder, my friends, and it's all murder, and the devil is behind it all. It's not a woman's right. It's not anybody's right. Thou shalt not kill. And abortion is killing innocent blood. Now, if somebody's guilty of that, I pray it'll bring you to the Lord to find forgiveness of your sin and salvation in Jesus Christ. But we need to call it what it is and stand against it. And pray we can get officials who are elected who will do the right thing. Those who are servants of God seeking to do His will, He can provide and protect and preserve and prepare them for what they're going to face next. And Paul and Barnabas were two who showed this. They fled to Lycaonia, the cities of Lystra and Derbe. And here they preach the gospel. God is at Jerusalem, had allowed persecution to enter in and scatter the believers. You say it was terrible that persecution caused them to have to leave their church. Yes, but you see, they had the gospel message and the knowledge of the word, and everywhere they went, they were planting churches and telling people about Christ, and people were getting saved who would never have known had not persecution scattered all of these believers. Other places needed to hear. These choice servants with the power of God and Paul with revelations from God to write the Word of God. The Bible hadn't been completed at this time, and they were still in the process of writing the Scriptures, the apostles' teachings, and other places needed this than just Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas are on this missionary journey. Now, these places are in the Roman province of Galatia, where the book of Galatians is later written to. Multiple churches in Galatia, Paul wrote the book of Galatians to. And no doubt their missionary journey has helped to establish this. Lystra is 18 miles from Iconium and was the home of Timothy and his mother and grandmother. It could be this missionary journey is where they first got connected with them. Some of them may have been saved prior or at this time. Has somebody been saved because of you? Have you sat down with someone with the Bible and encouraged them and helped them grow and become a disciple for Christ? Have you invested part of your life in others in service as these men set the example? Servants of God, we ought to have some fruit produced through a long period of our life. If we're growing as we should in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if we're being a witness, and if we're passing out tracts, and if we're inviting people to church, and if we're living a godly example, and if we'll speak up as a witness, there ought to be some fruit produced because of our lives. Derby was 40 miles from Lystra. There were no cars or airplanes or buses or these were hard journeys to go from place to place to place, and they did it. As Paul made reference of his life, he suffered much in these missionary journeys. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that he suffered a shipwreck and spent a day and a night in the deep. He was beaten and stoned. He had journeys often, perils of water, robbers, perils of the Jews and the heathen, perils in the cities and in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and pain and watching and hunger and thirst and fastings and cold and nakedness. Understand why John Mark quit? Went back home. A lot of people quit marriage because it's hard. They don't like to stay in a marriage that's hard. You take a vow before God to be married to somebody through sickness or health, through poverty or wealth, and forsaking all others to keep yourself only unto them, so long as you both shall live. Rob and Terry Nance, 50 years this weekend. God bless you. Congratulations. Not many make it that long. Reminds me of the story. These folks quitting and that sort of thing reminds me of the story of the priest who took a vow of silence. At the end of a year, he could say one word, and so they gathered with him at the end of the year, and his one word was cold. He went another year, and they gathered with him at the end of a year. The second time he could say a word, he said hungry. The third time they met with him, he could say something. He said, I quit. The bishop said, you might as well. You haven't done anything but complain since you've been here. Well, what does it take to stop us? What keeps us from doing what we need to do? Is it temptations? Is it hardship? Is it the love of the world and materialism? Is it that we just won't give up some of our time to the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us? Is it that some have rejected us? and hurt our feelings, and so we withdraw from doing anything? What's keeping us from being a witness for Christ? In chapter 14 and verse number 8, Paul went to Lystra, and there sat a certain man who was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. The Bible protects this story by three ways telling us this man was crippled from the time of his birth. Paul perceives this man will have faith as he speaks, and the man is listening. And Paul says to him, "Rise up and walk." And the man does, because of faith in Christ. He's healed because of the apostle's message to him. And he stands up. And because of this, the majority of that area is filled with idolaters. And they believe the gods have come down among men. And they want to make sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas and exalt them. And they're trying their best to stop these men. And they ran in among them to stop them, lest they would have sacrificed oxen and garlands unto them. They think Zeus and Hermes have come down among them. And Paul being the chief speaker, these men tear their garments as Jews and showing their anguish, and they go in among these people to stop them from sacrificing unto them. You see, they know full well all glory, praise, and honor belongs to God. And if we take the glory that belongs to Him, there's no reason that God will allow that to take place. God is bringing the light of the gospel to the Gentile nations. As Peter preached in Acts 4:12, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name Jesus. In Acts 17:30, Paul said about the idolaters there, the time of this ignorance God winked at, meaning God closed his eyes to it for a moment, not destroying them in their sin, because they hadn't been given the light that the Jews were given of the scriptures and the prophets. But now God has sent the gospel unto them, and therefore commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and verse number 30. These humble servants of God refused all of the accolades that these people would have laid at their feet. He taught them to turn to the living God that made heaven and earth and all things. Our songs today magnified the text of what we're looking at today. We must point glory to God. People must hear the truth of the gospel in order to be saved. They need someone to be a witness unto them. And God would have us to do that. Even as simple a thing as one of these cards along with your tip at a meal, and maybe a word to the waitress of your testimony. I shared that card with you because one day God saved me, forgave me of my sins, and I'd like to know that I'm going to see you again in heaven. And if I can help you, our church number's on there. All you have to do is call or come and visit us. We'd love to have you. Let's be a witness for Christ. Paul and Barnabas were witnesses that suffered great things for the cause, to pave the way for us to have the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy today. But we cannot take for granted these will last forever. We must do what we can do while we have the opportunity. Let's stand together. Father, in the Lord's name, we give you this invitation. We pray that you will bless it to your own honor and glory. Work in hearts. Help us to make decisions we should before we leave this place. We thank you in Jesus' name. We'll sing a verse of invitation hymn. I invite you to come. If you need someone to counsel with you or pray with you.